We begin the current daf, Masechtas Avodah Zarah, daf Lamed Zayin. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf, which we had said, one of the things which were forbidden from a non-Jew is their oil, which is one of the 18 things that were mentioned by the Gezeris of Bisham and Bisil, that we cannot partake of their oil. However, the Gemara had brought that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, or Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, his grandson, had permitted that oil. So the Gemara brings the incident that illustrates that halacha. Mistamech v'ozer Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya akasved Rabbi Simloi Yishami. And that's what it was quoted in the previous daf, that Rabbi Simloi had said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, that although it was originally said that it's forbidden, but as we said, that it's Reiv Tzibur were not Yochel Lamed Ben, they didn't accept that decree, and therefore it was permitted. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was leaning on the shoulder of Rabbi Simloi, his attendant, and Amalei said to him, Simloi, you weren't yesterday in the study hall, Kishar Tan, Yes Hashem, when we permitted the oil. Although it was quoted from earlier sources, maybe from Daniel, maybe from Shaman Hill, as we said in the previous stuff, but Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya went and permitted it. So Amalei, so his attendant Simlai, when he heard this, so he said to him, B'yameinu tater afes apas, in our days, you should permit not only the oil, which you did yesterday, of the kachavim, but also their bread, that non-Jewish bread, which was also included one of the things that are forbidden, you should also permit. So Maloi said to him, Imkain, if that would be the case, Karolon Beis Din Nishari, then they're going to call us their court that permits things, because here I am, I'm being lenient already in the oil. If I permit another thing, they're going to give me this derogatory title that I'm from that who permits things. So it's not like Luna Mishnah Masech Lasidis that there was such a precedent when someone permitted too many things, they gave him that title. The Mishnah says, Hadra B'yisi Ben Ye'ezah Ish Tzreda, B'yisi Ben Ye'ezah, the man from Tzreda, testified, Al Ayil Kamtza, regarding this type of grasshopper called Ayil Kamtza, that dachin, that it's kosher and it's permitted to be consumed. And Vamashke Beis Mitbechai, regarding the beverages, the liquids of the slaughterhouse, which is the blood and the water in the slaughterhouse in the Azar, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, that dachin, that there they did not make a gzera that the liquids should have halacha of being tummy, which Machlekes later on, Rav says that actually the liquids themselves were tar, because he holds that the whole halacha of liquids becoming tummy is only rabbinic, and therefore they did not make that rabbinic decree regarding the liquids in the Azara, so that there shouldn't be tum over there. And Shmuel said no, it was only that they purified it from being mitami, transmitting tumah to other things. But they themselves, those liquids did become tummy, because Shmuel holds, as Gemara will explain, that tumas mashkin is biblical, and therefore the rabbana cannot have purified something that biblically is tummy. But either way, he had testified that those liquids, that they're pure either from themselves or from being mitami other things. And the third thing, v'adiyikr v'lemesav, lemesa, misav, whoever comes close to a dead person becomes impure. Meaning if someone touches a dead person, he's tummy, which Gemara later is going to ask, that's a biblical halacha. And moreover, that's a stringency. And the whole point, what's being said over here, is that he was called v'kara le'yesav shari, he was called Yesav the permitter, when this would be actually Yesav the forbidder. But therefore he said to him, he says, look, I can't permit too many things because look what they did to Yesiv ben Ye'ezer. When they permitted things, they already called him Yesiv the permitter. So Amalei, so Rabbi Simlai said to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, well, Hasim Sharitlas, there, as you quoted that Mishnah in Masechtas Idyas, he permitted three things. As the Gemara later on will explain, because this halacha of coming close to a dead person becoming tamei, as we'll see, is a leniency. So, okay, he permitted three things, then they called him this derogatory title. But Amar Sharachadah, but you the master, you only permitted one thing, which yesterday in your Beis HaMedrash, which was the oil of the Abdi Kachavim. Ve'ishar and if the master would permit one more thing, meaning their bread, Akati Tartin Hudahavin, it's only going to be two things. Who said they're going to give you that title? So Amalei, Shabudin Nasiya said to him, Anosharoya Chrita, I already permitted one other thing. And therefore, were I to permit their bread, it would make it three and I'd be just like Yesav and Ye'ez, and they would call me this court that permits things. Says Gamamahi, what was the other thing that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya had permitted, and therefore he was afraid to make another thing, which would make it a total of three things that he permitted. Does not like the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. Mishnah says, if a husband says to his wife, Zegitich, this is your divorce document, Im lebasi mikan at shnei masachedish, if I don't come back within 12 months, then this is going to be your get. Umeis betech shnei masachedish, and he dies within the 12 months, says the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, ain't a get. That will not be qualified as a kosher get. Why? Because he didn't say that it's going to be a get. He only says it's going to be a get after 12 months. Now, yeah, and if he doesn't come back, then it'll be a get. But it's only going to be a get after 12 months. Problem is, he died within those 12 months, and a dead person cannot divorce. The divorce is only taking effect at the end of 12 months. He's already dead by then. Therefore, the halacha is that she, if let's say she died without any children from that husband, she's going to have yibum. She's not considered like she was divorced. She's an almana without any children. She would have to go through the process of yibum. But let's say if the husband would have said that from today it's going to be a get if I don't come back within 12 months, and then he dies within those 12 months, then that's a get. And then she won't have to have yibum because it's get now. Unless he comes back, then it's not going to be. And he didn't come back, so then it would be a get. But again, if he says that if I don't come back within 12 months and he dies, says the Mishnah Masechta Gittin, it's not a get. Now, V'tanei Allah, we had learned in the Braisa regarding that Mishnah, that V'rabiseinu hitiru l'nase, but our teachers permitted her to get married, meaning that it is a kosher get. V'armina, we said, man Rabiseinu, who's our teachers? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, it's Beis Dina Deshar Mishka, it's the court that permitted the oils of the non-Jews, which is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Why? Because Sabri L'Kribyesi, why did they say in this Mishnah Masechta Gittin, regarding that case, that it would be a kosher get? Because the Holy Rabbi Yasi, the Amma that he says, the date of the document proves and indicates. With this opinion of Rabbi Yasi, is mentioned, besides the Baba Basad of Kofalam, involved Med Aleph, if someone writes away all his properties, all his assets to his son for after when he dies. So the Mishnah says over there that the father has to write, Mehayoyim Ulachamisa, from today and when after I die. Which that sounds like, and that gets translated like, the actual property I'm giving you today, so then I can't sell it to someone else. But the produce, meaning the utility, will only be given to you, meaning I'll be able to use it now. But the utility will be only given to you after I die. Now, because if he wouldn't write Mehayoyim, but rather he would write L'achar Misa, then it would be like he didn't say anything. Because after the father's dead, he can't give it anymore. And rather, that son would share equally with all his other brothers, like a regular Yerusha. Or if, let's say, there was a creditor that came after this gift that the father gave to the son before he died, the creditor would collect his debt first. Now, on that halacha, Rabbi Yasi says that no, the father doesn't have to say Mehayoyim Ulachamisa. Why? Because that's why he writes a date in the document. What's the date doing there? What does the date show? Who cares what time you wrote it? Rather, it's coming to say that the gift should take effect right now regarding the actual property. And the payer is the utility. The father wants to use it until he dies, but he wants to make sure that son, only that son, gets all the properties. The payers will be after he dies. Because if he didn't need to, and he just wanted it to take effect only after he died, then why would he write the date? Obviously, it's to say Mahayoy. So that's what the Gemara is saying. The Rebbe Nasiya held a Krebiyesi, that here also the date in the get proves that what he's telling his wife is, from today it should be a get if I don't come within 12 months. And therefore that's just a condition. If he doesn't come, the condition was fulfilled. But the divorce is not happening after 12 months. The divorce is happening today. It's just stipulation only if he doesn't come back. And he didn't come back. If one would say, oh, it's only after 12 months, well, he's dead, he can't divorce. Here the divorce took place right now. And for that reason, it is going to be a kosher get. V'amr baba b'reidu b'chiyah paraba Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, which Rashi explains, as we said in earlier daf, that this actually refers to the grandson of the one who is always known as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, which this is usually called as Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Haira, he's the one who taught that it's permitted for her to get married and that she doesn't have to go through Yibim because it's a kosher get. But v'lehoidu lo kol shaitei, all the days that he was alive, they disagreed Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. V'amrilan, some say kol siyatei, all his colleagues, they all disagreed with him. But one thing we see is that he permitted that woman that it is a kosher get, and therefore that was the second thing he permitted besides the oil, and therefore he was afraid to permit also the bread, because then they would call him Beidin the Desharia, the court that permits things, just like they did with Yosef ben Yehazah, who permitted three things, and they called him Yosef Sharia, Yosef the permitter. Now, related to this discussion that we just brought, the Gemara says, Amali Reb Elazar Lahu Saber. Reb Elazar said to that elder, that kisharitua, when you permitted, when they, the court, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya's court, who, as we said, they were the Rabbeinu Hitiruha, not like the Mishnah Masechta Gittin, when they permitted that woman to get married with that get without going through Yibum, la'alta shiritua, do they permit her immediately when they hear, let's say, 6 months into that 12 months that the husband died? Immediately at that point, do they permit her now to get married because the le'asi? Because obviously the husband's not going to come. So if he's not going to come, the condition is going to be fulfilled. And therefore it's going to be get from now, meaning from when he had originally given to her. And therefore she should get married right now. Maybe she's only allowed to get married after 12 months. Because that's ultimately when the condition is fulfilled. It was within 12 months. Now, although he's dead and he obviously can't, but you have to wait until that time span is finished, and only then could she go ahead and get remarried. Now, on that, the elder asked Rabbi Elazar, "V'tibayla chamasnit." Why asking me regarding this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya? Your question, it could be asked on a Mishnah. It's not like the Mishnah learned in Masechta Gittin. Haridzi gitech me'achshav im leibasi mikan et shnei masach haydishav. Let's say a husband says to his wife that, not like the previous Mishnah, which was only with imloy basi. Here the word me'achshav is said. He says to her, this is your get from now, if I don't come from now within 12 months. And he dies within 12 months, says the Mishnah, have a get. That is a get. That's very different than the case of without saying me'achshav, because when he says me'achshav, it's taking effect right now. So if he dies within that time span, it's not going to be a get lachamisa. It's really from now. It's just stipulation if he doesn't come within 12 months. And here, the condition was fulfilled, he didn't come within 12 months. So it's going to be a get. So that says the elder to Rabbi Elazar, "V'tibaylach." So you should ask on that Mishnah, "La'al tahavakita." Is it a get immediately when they hear that he's dead? To holoyasa, because he's not going to come, and therefore obviously it's going to be fulfilled, and the get was already retroactively from when he said me'achshav. Aydim alachayud beischeidish, or maybe it's only going to be allowed for her to remarry after 12 months. The hoyikayim leitznoi, because that's actually when the get's fulfilled. So on that says Rabbi Elazar, "In the chanami." Yes, totally. That of course I could have asked the question on the Mishnah. Ella, the reason why I asked you on this first halacha regarding the braisa of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was mishum dehavis bahu minyana. That's because you were by that counting by the court of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya who permitted it, and you know when it was that they said that she's going to be permitted. Now, from that teaching of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, obviously, because as we explained, even though he didn't say mehayoyim or me'achshav, but he holds like Rabbi Yossi, who says that any time you have a date, it's like you said Mahayim, we would understand the same halacha for that Mishnah Masechta Gittin. And when you say Me'achshav, it's the same idea, when it would be permitted, when they hear that he's dead, or later on, when the 12 months are actually over. But essentially, yeah, that would be the same question. So the Gemara doesn't answer that question. But the Gemara continues and says, Abaya says, he qualifies this discussion. He says, Hakol Maidim, everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yossi, that where it was said in a certain terminology, when he says to her, hey, this is your get, when the sun's going to come out of its sheath, when the sun's going to come out, so l'chinafka kamala, says Abaya, there in that halacha, everyone agrees that it's when the sun's going to come out that he's saying that it should be a get. Before that, it's not going to be a get. And therefore, says Abaya, even Rabbi Yisrael would agree with the v'chimayis balaylia, that if he dies during the nighttime, it's not going to be a get, because get lachamisa, that's definitely going to be a get after he's dead. Now, although Rabbi Yossi said, but what do you mean? It says a date, and the date indicates as if it was said Mahayoyim from today. But that Rashi explains, but in this case, since he's saying that it should be a get when the sun comes out, which is tomorrow, it's like he's saying, like Mahayoyim ulachamisa, because the date says from today. But he's saying clearly that I want it to be tomorrow when the sun comes out. So it's like from today and after when I die. Which the Mishnah and Masechta's Gittin teaches, if a man says to a woman that type of a terminology, I want this to be a get for you from today and ula achamisa, and when after I die, that's what's called get ve'ena get. We're stringent. On some level, we consider like a get and some not, because we're in doubt. This that he said, la achamisa, after I die, is that a stipulation? And therefore, it sounds like I want the get to be from today if I go ahead and I die? Or is it a retraction? Is he retracting from what he said, Mahayim? And he said, no, it's La'achar Misa. So then, and then it wouldn't be a get. So then we consider it stringent on either regard. And it's not similar to the halacha of a matana, which we mentioned in passing before, when if a person writes to, let's say, his son, I want this to be a gift for you, Mahayim La'achar Misa, because over there we said you could interpret that to mean, yeah, the property itself is acquired to you from today. But the payri, the utility, the usage of it is only going to be La'achar Misa, but by a get you can't say that, as the Gemara explains in Babaskov Lamev Amad Aleph. So rather, in this says Abaya, everyone would agree, since he's also saying, I want it to be when the sun comes out, which is like Mahayoyim al-Achamisa, which we don't know, so we have to be stringent as if he's saying, I only want it to be for tomorrow, and if he dies in the night before, that's going to be get lachamisa, even according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that the date says like Mahayoyim. But it's like Mahayoyim al-Achamisa, which we don't consider as a full-fledged get until after he dies, or in this case, until after the sun comes out, and he's already dead the night before. Now, let's say he said, Amanasha teitzi chamim min artika, not when the sun comes out, but rather he says, I want this to be a get for you on the condition that when the sun comes out from its sheath, which similar in the case that we're discussing, if he would say on the condition that it don't come within 12 months. This says Abaya, Ma'achshav Kamala. There he's clearly telling her, I want it to be from today. Because he's saying only on the condition, but not that it should take effect then. I'm giving you a get right now. On the condition that when the sun comes up. So therefore, says Abai, in that case, everyone would agree, when he dies the night before the sun comes out, so that was only a stipulation that it should be a get when this condition is fulfilled. But when the condition is fulfilled and the sun comes out the next morning, so it was revealed retroactively that at the time when he gave it to her the day before, that's when it was a get. So even though he dies in that following night, that's going to be a get mechaimu, that's still going to be a get that he gave to her when he was still alive. Which, similar in the case we're discussing, if he dies within the 12 months, so the condition was fulfilled because he didn't come at the end of the 12 months, and it's a get retroactively, and therefore it's going to be a valid get. As the Gemara explains, Kidravuna. Because the Amar Ravuna said, Kaloima Amanas, whoever says, on the condition, it's Kaloima Ma'akshav, it's like he's saying, I want it to be from right now. Because the word Amanas sounds like it's a stipulation. So he's telling her, I want it to be get right now, on the condition that you fulfill the stipulation. As long as the condition is fulfilled, so then it's a get retroactively, and that was when he was still alive. Says Abaye, lo nechleku ela be'im teitzei. The whole machlikis that we were discussing, which Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, which is like Rabbi Yasi, in contrast to the Chachamim, was only if he says, if the sun comes out, and he dies the night before, or similar in the case that we're discussing, where if, let's say, he says, if I don't come within 12 months. When he says the word im, meaning we discussed so far, lika shetetze, then we agreed, according to everyone, it's not going to be a valid get. Then we said, al menash shetetze, we agreed according to everyone, it is going to be a get, because that's like from now. Now we're saying, im tetze. The Gemara explains over there in Gittin, Dafayin Beis, and Dafayin Zayin, the word im, if, indicates two different types of usages. It sounds like from now, and it also sounds like when it's going to be fulfilled. Where if, let's say, he says, mehayoyim, from today, so then he's revealing his intention that it should be from right now. But if he doesn't say from today, meaning when you're using the word im, if you don't say mehayayim, it sounds like, okay, but when it's going to be fulfilled, then it should take effect. So therefore, as follows. Says Abaye, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Sabalak Rabbi Yasi. Since he held like Rabbi Yasi, as we explained, the Amad that he says that even though he didn't write mehayayim, but zmanish shtar mechichel of the date of the document indicates, and it's as if he wrote, it should take effect from today. So that's as if he wrote to her and is telling her that I want this to be a get for you from today if I die. Or from now if I die. Which the Gemara Masechet Gittin on Beis and Beis explains that that's a stipulation. And therefore when he dies, it's going to be a get retroactively. So too in like the case that we're discussing, that it's going to be like he says from now on the condition that the sun comes out, when it comes out, so it's going to be a get retroactively from when he's still alive. Because again, it's like you're saying mehayoyim. We say when you say im, if you say mehayoyim, it means it's from right now and it's just a tonight. If you don't say, it means like you want it to be when it's going to be fulfilled. If you didn't see a hold that when you're saying im, and only im, but you're writing the date, it's like you're saying mehayoyim. And therefore that's going to be from right now. Rabbanan, less lehud Rabbi Yisi. Rabbanan, do not hold over this halacha Rabbi Yisi. V'havale kizegitich imati, great. And that's going to be like if someone just says, I want this to be a get for you if I die, without saying mehayim, because they don't hold Rabbi Yisi halacha that the date indicates it should be from right now. Where the Gemara says over there, Masechet Kitin, that the word im, when you don't say mehayim, that sounds like that you want it to be when he dies. And therefore that's the same thing when l'kishateitzei chama, when the sun comes out, or when I don't come back. And therefore it's only going to be then, and at that point he's already dead, and that's a get lachamisa, and therefore it's not going to be a valid get. Now the Gemara goes back, which Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya had quoted the Mishnah Masechtas Idyas, saying, I can't permit a third thing because they're going to call me the court that permits. So Gufa, we had mentioned that it was said that, hey, Yosi ben Yeezer ish Tzredi. Yosi ben Yeezer, the person from Tzreda, had testified three permissible things. One was al ayil kamtsa dochin, that this type of grasshopper is kosher. And regarding the liquids in the slaughterhouse in the Azara, that those liquids are pure. And while the yikr of lemisa mesav, and whoever comes close to a dead person is ritually impure. And since it was three things of a karela yisiv shari, they called him yisiv the permitter. So the Gemara clarifies these three halachos. My ayil kamtsa, what is this ayil kamtsa? What's this type of a grasshopper that he was saying is kosher? So Papa Ami says it's shushiva. It's a type of a grasshopper who has a very long head. Rav Chiya bar Ami mishmei de ula Ami says it's susbil. So the Gemara explains, Rav Papa Amar Shishiba, he says it was referring to the grasshopper Shishiba, the Kemiflegi and the Machlegi Yisu ben Yeze and the Rabbanan, if that's kosher or not, is Bereshi Arach, is when it has a very long head. Now, the reason for this machlekes is because the signs of what's considered a kosher grasshopper is learned out from the four types that are mentioned in the Torah: Arba, Solom, Chargul, and Chagav. That's machlekes tanoi mesek neskul daf samach vav men aleph regarding if it has a long head. Now, those who learn it, that parashah is regarding the kosher grasshopper is what's known as a klal uprat. There's no other klal. It's just a general statement that's specific. Now, that's when the Yud Gimel Midrash turned to Jespan, which tells us, Eim b'chlal al mashu b'prat. Whatever is included in the general category is only like those which are mentioned specifically, which is only these four types are permitted, but any other type is not. Now, therefore, from all these four types, none of them have a long head. So therefore, this Shushiba, which has a long head, is not going to be considered from one of the kosher grasshoppers. Now, there are those Tanoim who learned that parasha has a klal uprat and a klal. So therefore, that includes anything that's similar to the prat. Now, what's the similarities? Arb is different than Solom, and Solom is different than Chagav, and they're all different. What's the common denominator of all of them? That what would make something a kosher grasshopper? So if it has 4 feet, 4 wings, and it has these karsulan, which are these legs that they jump with, and it has the wings that cover the majority of its body, so to anything that has these 4 signs, which includes this shushiba, is going to be kosher. So therefore, that's what explains the Gemara. Marsa, with the Rabbana held, Reishi Arach Asur, the long head is forbidden because they learn it as a klal prat. And it's only that what has exactly like those 4, which they don't have a long head, and therefore Shashiba is excluded. But Amar Sava B'Rabbi Yisi ben Ye'ezer, he held Reishi Arach Mutter, a long head is permitted because he learned that parasha as a klal of prat klal. That was one interpretation of Rav Papa. He said that this Ayil Kamsa that they were disagreeing about is as a Ketin Tamad Beis is Suspil, which it actually does not have a long head, but its wings do not cover its majority in an obvious type of a way. Rather, it's very exacting. You would have to measure with a ruler to see that if it covers the majority of its body. So there explains the Gemara. Bereisha Arach Kulam Alepliga De'aser. He held that no, the long head, no one disagrees. Everyone holds that it's going to be prohibited. Because, like, they learned it as a klal prat. V'hacha b'knaf av chayfines rubei adei hatchakam. If we can hear the machlekes between Yosef ben Ye'ezer and the Chacham was regarding a type of a grasshopper that has its wings that cover the majority of the body, just precisely. Which Rashi says not to have the girsa of the karsulin, because these karsulayim, they don't cover anything, because these are actually just 2 of the 4 long legs, which the grasshopper uses to jump with, which are these legs that are in front of its regular legs that it used to jump. What we're talking about here is regarding its wings. Marsav Rabbi Yisrael ben Ye'ezer held Rubu Koldubin. All you need is a majority, even if it's exacting. But Marsav HaChacham, who held that it's not going to be a kosher grasshopper, is because Rubu de Minkerbin, and you need a majority that's very obvious to the eye that it's covering the majority of the body. And since this Suspil, it's not so obvious that it covers the majority of the body, that's not considered a kosher grasshopper. The next thing that he permitted Rabbi Yisrael ben Ye'ezer was Valmashke be mitpachai dochin regarding the liquids in the slaughterhouse in the Azara, the Beis Hamikdash, the blood and the water, that those liquids are pure. Says the Gemara, my dochin. What does it mean that they're pure? So it's a machlekes. Rav Amar dochin mamish. It means literally the liquids are pure. They do not become tamei. Ushmolam, he says no dochin milatama acherim. It's only pure from being mitamei, from transmitting tumah to other things. Avot Thomas atzman yeshben, but the liquids themselves could become tamei. As the Gemara explains, Rava Madochin Mamash, he says the liquids themselves don't become tummy. Kesavir Tumas Mashkin Draban. He held that the ability of liquids becoming tummy is only rabbinic. As the Gemara Masechet Pesachim actually asked, but the Pasuk says clearly, Chomashka Asher Shasa, that any liquid that could be drunk, it becomes tummy. Through that, the Gemara over there on Daf Tazayin Menalf explains, what does it mean, Yitame? It means that it can make other things, meaning it could be Machshir, something else, because solids could only become tummy when they become in contact with 1 of 7 types of liquids. So it's for something else that it can make it susceptible to tumma, but it itself is biblically does not become tummy, only rabbinically. And when did the rabbis decree tumma on a liquid? Was b'mashkin d'alma, that was in general regarding liquids. Mashkin b'emet b'chayil goes rabban regarding the liquids of the slaughterhouse. And the basic mikdash, there they didn't want to increase any tumma, and there they did not decree tumma. So therefore, actually, his testimony was that the liquids themselves are tar. But Shmuel Amadachim L'Tamachem, he said they're only pure from making other things tamei. Avot Tumas Atzman Yeshben, but their own tumah they do become tamei. Because Ksavot Tumas Mashkin De'Raisi, he held that the tumah of liquids is biblical. L'Tamachem Drabanan, to transmit tumah to other things is rabbinic. V'chigaz Rabban B'Mashkin De'Alma, when did Rabbanan make the decree that liquids could be metame other things? That was only by general beverages, but b'mashkin b'emet b'chayil l'gozer, but regarding the liquids of the slaughterhouse, not to increase tumah to other things in the Beis HaMikdash, there they did not make their decree. The third thing that he had permitted was Valdiyikrav Lemesa Mesav. Whoever comes close to a dead person becomes Tamei. And therefore, since it was three things, Vakarla Yosef Chayav, they called him Yosef the permitter. Asked the Gemara, Yosef Asar Mibayli, this last halacha shouldn't be Yosef the permitter. It's Yosef the forbidder because he was making something forbidden. He's saying that if one comes close to a dead person, becomes Tamei. Fayed, more of a second question is, Dai Raisi, what is he saying that if you come to a Tamei, to a dead person, you become Tamei? That's a biblical law. That's like the Pasuk says in the Midbar, it says, V'chala she'yiga p'nei asad, whoever touches on the face of the field, b'chal cherv, someone who is slain by the sword, or b'meis, or that's dead, v'goyim, etc., which the Pasuk there says, that yitma she'besyam, the person who touches the dead person, becomes Tamei for 7 days. So what's this, that this was Yesu ben Yez's halacha? Says the Gemara, they write it biblically, t'yikrav Tamei. Whoever comes close and touches a dead person, that person becomes Tamei. But the yikrav b'diyikrav tar, the one who touches the dead person, is pure. V'asu inhu v'gazra filo the yikrav b'diyikrav. And then the rabbis came along and they made a decree that even the one who's touching the dead person becomes Tamei. V'asu ihu, and that's when Yosef came along and he testified that no, only someone who touches the dead person becomes Tamei. But v'ukmu adereisa, and he established it on its biblical law. Because in contrast, the one who's touching the dead person, he did not make that gezerah, and that's why Yosef Shari, he was permitting the rabbinic decree of the one who's touching the dead person. No, so therefore, according to that, the interpretation would be that the one who touches the dead person becomes Tamei, that's going to be Tamei for a period of 7 days. But the one who touches the one who's touching does not become Tamei, he only becomes Tamei for the evening tumma, because he's touching someone who's avat tumma, which makes him tumme for that evening. That asked the Gemara, but the yikrav namei deraisu. But even this halacha of one who's touching a dead person is actually biblical. You can't say that was the rabbinic and that was what he was permitting, because the pasuk says in the midbar v'chala sheyiga by hatumme yitma. Whoever touches the one who's tumme will become tumme. So the one who's touching a dead person is called tumme, and it's saying whoever touches him becomes Tamei too. So how can you say Yosef ben Yez was coming to permit that because that was what the Rabbana had made Aser? That's a biblical halacha. So Amru Rabbana Kameder Rav Meshmeder Mazut Meshmeder Rav Nachman the Am Meshmeder Rav Nachman as follows. Dai writes, according to biblical law, the one who's touching the dead person is Bichiburin. Is only at the time when that person is touching the dead person, his friend then comes and touches him when they're connected, then Tumashiva. Then the one who's touching him becomes Tamei for 7 days. Shaloi b'chiburin. But if, let's say, the one who touched the dead person already stopped touching the dead person, and then his friend comes and touches him, that's Tumas Arv. That makes the one who's touching him only Tamei for the evening. V'asu inhu v'gaza. That's where the Rabbanan came along, and they decreed, afel shaloi b'chiburin Tumas Shiva, that even if the one who touched the dead person is not touching it anymore, the one who touches him will be Tamei for 7 days. That's where Yosef ben Yez came along, and he said, no, we leave it at the biblical law, which is that the one who touches, the one who's touching, will only be Tamei for 7 days. If he's touching when he's touching the dead person, when already he's not touching, he'll only be Tamei for the evening. So the Gemara asked, Deraisa Mahi, where do we see this as biblical law? Because it says over there in the Pasuk, Hanageya b'meis l'chol nefesh adam, whoever touches a dead person for the soul of any person, but Tamei shivasam, and he'll be Tamei for 7 days. Uksevin, it says over there in the Pasig, V'chala she'yiga b'ha tamei yitman. Whoever's touching the one who became tamei from touching the dead person will also be tamei, which sounds like for 7 days, just like the Thomas Miss, like the one who touched the dead person, because it doesn't differentiate. Uksev, but yet the Pasig says, V'nefesh hanegas titma d'arv, that the one who touches will be tamei only until the evening. So okay, so how to resolve that? Is the one who touched the dead person tamei for 7 days or only until the evening? And that's what the Gemara explains. This is like we were saying. Kan b'chiburin. Over here, when the pasuk says that the one who's touching dead person, what we call yikrav diyikrav, that'll be tamei for 7 days, is when the one who's touching is still connected to the dead person. Kan shalai b'chiburin. Here, when we said it's only till the evening, is when he's not attached anymore. That's what the biblical law is. The rabbanan said it'll still be for 7 days, and Yosef ben Yez said no, it should still be like biblical law, and that's what he permitted. That only the one who's touching when he's connected, then he's going to be tamei for 7 days. But if he's not attached anymore, he'll only be tamei up until the evening. Now, Amalu Rava, regarding this interpretation of that this is what Yosef ben Yez was permitting, Rava said to them, Lava minuchu, didn't I tell you, leititlu bebuki sriki, that you should not hang empty jugs, in other words, words that have no reasoning, Rav Nachman, in attribution to this is what Rav Nachman was saying? That's not what he was saying. That's not what he was saying is the interpretation of Yosef ben Yez's halacha. This is what Rav Nachman is saying, and what was it that Yosef ben Yehezer was permitting? He said, Safik tumah b'shusar rabim hitrolehem, that he had permitted for the people a doubtful tumah in the public domain, where that the custom is not to treat it as forbidden. And that's what his words were. Val de yikrav lemesa mesav, that someone who comes close to a definite dead person, to a definite source of tumah, then he becomes tummy. But if it's doubtful, and uniquely in Rishus HaRabim, then he's actually not going to be tummy. And that's what he was permitting to them. And that is the Gemara. But v'hilchsa m'sayta gamrinla. But we already know this as a halacha from Saita, that we learn out that a suffix tumah in Rishus HaRabim is going to be tar. Because any prohibition that comes from a suffix tumah is learned out from the halachas of a Saita of the suspected adulterous woman. Because there the Torah uses the terminology of tumah, even though it's not related to tumah per se, it's really regarding adultery and infidelity. But the words in the pasuk are v'nistra v'hinitma, if she secluded herself with another man and she became tumay. So the Torah is teaching you that any doubtful iser regarding tumah is learnt out from the halachas of Saita. So the same thing would apply to halachas of Sheretz regarding becoming tummy from Safik, which teaches us that, and Masay to Rishus HaYachid, just like the halachas of Saita, of becoming, quote, tummy, which really means to say that she becomes defiled in a marital way, but it still uses the word tumah, that just like Saita is only applicable in the private domain, because if she's being secluded, obviously it's not in public, it must be in private. So af tumah, so to the halachas of tumah, which is, let's say, in a doubtful touching of a sheretz, is also only going to be in a rishus hayachar in the private domain. There's a gemara teach him sechel seidav chaf chesem abeis. So the question is, how can we say that this is what Yosef ben Yehezer was permitting, when this halacha that we know from where the source of the halacha of safek tumah is from the laws of Saita, that we know that safek tumah rishus ram is permitted? And that says the gemara, but ha'am Rabbi Yechon had said, yeah, the halacha is that safek tumah rishus ram is tar. But v'ein marin came. But we don't teach this in public like this, because we don't want the public to be lax in the laws of tumah and to make it even more lenient. But v'asi'ihu, that's where Rabbi Yosef ben Yehezer came along, v'oyri le'eru, and he went and he came and he taught this in public, which Rabbi Yochanan said we shouldn't, and therefore that was something that he was permitting more than what the rabbis wanted to darshan and expound upon, and therefore that was another thing that he was permitting. As the Gemara says, Tanam Ha'ochi, similar in the Brayso, Rabbi Yehuda Aimi says, Kairais no atzlehem, that Yosef ben Yehezer, he stuck pegs, beams, for the people as a sign between the Rishus HaRabim and between the fields of the valleys, which are considered Rishus HaYochid for the laws of Tumah, because the owner of the field is very particular that people should not step over there. Also, as the Gemara says in Baba Basta, there's a 4 Amah area that's near the Rishus HaRabim. For example, the area which is cleared near the Rishus HaRabim, which is a long distance, which the first 4 Amas is considered Rishus HaRabim for Tumah, it's in those places that he stuck down pegs. Vamran, he said, Ad Kan Rishus HaRabim, up until here is the public domain. Ad Kan Rishus HaYachad, up until here is the private domain. Why did he put these beams? To tell people, because Safik Tumah Rishus HaRabim is Tar. Safik Tumah Rishus HaYachad is going to be Tumah. And since he made this public display of this halacha, which Rabbi Yochanan had said the Rabban did not want to make that announcement, although it's really halacha, that's something that he was permitting, and therefore that was a third thing to call him Yosef Sharia. Kiyos l'kamid Rabbi Yanai, however, when people would come in front of Rabbi Yanai, who someone had a suffix tumah in Rishus HaRabim, Amalo, he would tell them, like Rabbi Yochanan had said, we should tell people, although the halacha really is that it is tar, but he would tell people, Homaya b'shikasa de Bahara. Look, there's water in the depths of the river. Zilu tfulu, go ahead and immerse yourself. Be taivel yourself, meaning, like we said, we should teach people as a stringency to go ahead, even as a subject to Mishas Rabim, not to tell them that they're tar, and rather to have them go ahead and immerse themselves in the mikvah. And therefore, it was considered something that Yosef ben Yehezer was permitting. Nothing more goes back to the halacha of our Mishnah regarding items that are forbidden for consumption, albeit permitted from Hanah, from the Ibdi Kechavim, from the non Jews. One of them is vashlokas, those things which were cooked foods by the non-Jews. So Gemara asks Menachem, where do we know this halacha, what's known as bishul akum, something that was cooked by the non-Jew, that it's forbidden? So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Omer B'yechon, he says, Omakra, the pasuk says in Devarim, when the Jewish people wanted to pass by Sichon on the way in to Eretz Yisrael, they told to Sichon, Eichel b'kesef tespeyeni b'chalti, look, give us food that will pay you money and we'll eat. Umayim b'kesef titli v'shasisi, give me water with silver and that we could drink. Which teaches us that they want to partake of the food of the non-Jews. But we're comparing their food to the water. which is kamayim, just like water, that mamayim shelo nishtam, just like water is not changed from its natural state, people drink water in its natural state, af eichel, so too, the type of food that they wanted to take from the non-Jews, is shelo nishtam, that wasn't changed. In contrast, food that was cooked, that was changed chemically, therefore, that's the things that are forbidden to partake from them. On that, as the Gemara, b'le el miat, if that's the case, sechit nevasa and kaloyah, so regarding wheat that was made into parched grain, which it's dried out in the oven, hachanami dasurin, so that's also going to be forbidden because that's changed from its natural state. And v'chitim hachanami, if you think that that is the case, but what the Braisa says, chit nevasa and kaloyah mutarin, wheat that's made into granola that's roasted is permitted. That's made into parched grain. So El Rada says the Gemara, no, a different comparison. Kamayim, when it says what's permitted to partake of their foods is like water, ma'amayim shalei nishtanu mibriyasin, just like water is not changed from its natural state, from how it was created, af oichel shalei nishtanu mibriyasin, so too a food item that's not changed from its natural state. In contrast, the granola, the roasted grain, it's still the same wheat kernel, albeit that it's dried out in the oven. So therefore that's permitted, but something that was changed from its form, that's going to be forbidden. And that is the Gemara, which is the case when you cook, it gets changed. But on that, then if that's how you're qualifying it, then regarding wheat which was ground down, which is changed from its natural state, so you can tell me that there it's going to be forbidden. And if you say that that's the case, but when the Braisa says it's regarding wheat that was made into parched grain, or their flour, their fine flour, mutarin is permitted. Why? Flour shouldn't be permitted. It was changed from its natural state, from a grain into flour. El rather qualifies the Gemara kamayim when it means that what's permitted to partake from the non-Jews like water, ma'amayim shlo nishtanim b'biyosan al de'ho'ur, just like water does not change from a natural state by fire, we don't cook it to drink it, it's naturally consumed in its natural state, af oichel shlo nishtanim b'biyosan de'ho'ur, so too, a food that's not changed from its natural state by the fire, that's something that's permitted. In contrast, cooked food, which is changed by the fire, that's something that's going to be forbidden. On that, as the Gemara, midi or ksiv, does the pasuk say anything about the fire? How do you see from the pasuk's comparison about the food they wanted to take from Sichon to water to see that the elemental concept is based on fire? Where do you see that? So rather, as the Gemara continues, tabav lamachesem and aleph, ella rather no midrabanan. This whole halacha that is forbidden bishalakim, cooked food by non-Jews, is rabbinic law. So that the Jewish people should not be accustomed to hang around eating and drinking with the non-Jews, and then you might come to eat something non-kosher, v'kras machtab alma. And the pasuk is only an allusion to that halacha, but you're right, it's not biblical law, because you don't see anything about this idea about necessarily being cooked by fire, but and that is something that would be forbidden. Rather, this is a rabbinic law as a concern, and the pasuk is just an allusion to that law.